Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the Air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is our 213th show. It's September 9th, 2017. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
And look who's here. DJ Cash is here.
Cassera.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing? You.
Producer tonight. That means we're going to actually get to listen to some classic radio shows, thanks to Cassera.
And it means we're going to have a great show.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're going to listen to the Philco Radio Times starring Bing Crosby and his special guest, Dick Powell. Then Dick Powell stars in Richard Diamond, Private Detective. And one of the character actors in that episode is William Conrad. And then William Conrad stars on Gunsmoke. See how I did that, Lisa? You like that?
Yeah, you're quick.
We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. So it's time for the Philco Radio Time. It was a musical variety show, came to radio in 1946, lasted till 1949 on ABC Radio. It starred Bing Crosby, and he had regulars on the show, Peggy Lee and the John Scott Trotter Orchestra. Now, Lisa, this was the very first pre-recorded program to air on a major U.S. radio network. Everything else prior to Philco Radio Time was live. Now, the first season was recorded on disc, but then they used a newfangled gadget called the Ampex tape recorder. And that worked out just fine.
Fancy, right?
It was sponsored by the Philco Corporation, makers of Philco radios and TV sets. And Bing Crosby's guests included Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Lucille Ball, Jimmy Durante, Danny Kaye, Boris Karloff, Abe Burrows, many, many, many others. It lasted until 1949. And then Bing Crosby started doing TV. So this is a great radio series. Let's go back to March 31st, 1948. His special guest is Dick Powell. Here is Bing Crosby and the Philco Radio Time.
Say we're on, I think. Give me a downbeat or something.
When the blues of the night.
I didn't see that light, did you? I've got to get bifocus or something.
Someone waits for me.
Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guest, Dick Powell.
Dick Powell coming tonight?
That's right.
Say, he's a singer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I can go home. I'll see you next week.
No. Now, wait a minute. Come back here, Bing. No. You got work to do.
Good try, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Now, you see, Bing, Dick has practically given up singing.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. He's a big detective in pictures. I wonder what my move will be.
Maybe you can go into politics. After all, you're the mayor of Elko, Nevada.
And the chief street cleaner.
Well, for a fellow who once had horses, you should be pretty handy at that.
I'm outstanding. I use the overlapping grip.
I was wondering. Inside out every time. You know, Bing, Bob Hope was made mayor of Palm Springs some time ago.
Hope is mayor of Palm Springs?
That's right.
Leave it to those dudes to pick a dud, will you? Say, Ken, have you ever seen the ensemble, the outfit, the cowboy outfit that Hope wears around Palm Springs?
Oh, no. What's it like?
Stand by.
I'm sure.
This boy's got a shirt. There's Hope with a bare midriff.
Naturally.
Pepsodent for piping around the edges. Wears Levi's with lace cuffs. Wears a gun on one hip and his hand on the other.
Really?
No. Not only that, he uses a beauty rest saddle, I think. Say, you know, he went to a barn dance at Roger's stable the other night in ballet slippers.
Well, he's always on his toes, that boy.
Yes, he's generally snapping at some barbecued beef or something, too, while he is. Say, Ken, if the Rhythm Ayers and John Scott will move in, we shall hit everybody with a new song that's quite a smash now, called Love Is So Terrific. Hit it, John.
So terrific, such a funny feeling, makes you want to cuddle and cling. Makes you sentimental, makes you kind of gentle. Ouch, terrific thing. Love is so prolific, sends your head a-reeling, makes you want to giggle and sing. Makes you sigh and wonder, hits you just like thunder. Ouch, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes, everything strange as it can be. Memory gets hazy, then you go crazy. Wow, look what it's done to me. Love is so terrific, such a dizzy feeling, makes you hear the wedding bells ring. Melts away your collar, makes you want to holler. Ouch, terrific thing.
Terrific.
Such a funny feeling makes the winter turn into spring.
Start your heart a-thundering, get your mind a-wandering.
Ouch, terrific thing.
Love is really so prolific, send your silly head a-reeling.
Makes your daily troubles take wing. Makes your pain a pleasure, love is such a treasure. Ouch, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes, everything strange as it can be. Memory gets hazy, then you go crazy. Wow, look what it's done to me. Love is so terrific, such a dizzy feeling, make you hold the world on a string. Melts away your collar,
no, you won't regret it.
Makes you want to holler,
don't you forget it. Love is so terrific,
ouch, terrific thing.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
And John Scott, you and the orchestra were terrific.
Thanks.
There's rehearsal. And Bing.
Thanks, Ken.
Oh, you were terrific, too.
I figured as much. Here's Jack Brooks' bouncy tune with Gloria Woods assisting me. Saturday day. Hello, honey. Gee, you look swell. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful. But don't just stand there. Come on in.
Well, haven't we got places to go and a lot of things to do?
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to stay at home, if it's all the same to you.
Well, okay. I got a Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
And we plan to spend a wonderful evening at
We'll be dining in the kitchen,
dancing in the parlor,
talking while the lights are low,
or just plain sitting,
listening to the radio.
On my Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
As long as we're alone, we're all right.
We're a couple of stay-at-home on Saturday night.
Say, honey, let's sit over here, where the lights are low.
You mean just you and me and the radio?
Mm-hmm. You happy?
Happy.
Love me?
Guess.
Comfy?
cozy.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes.
You think Sammy Kay's got a good beat, honey?
Oh, I like Shep Fields.
I just think Rand Wild is gone. On my Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
As long as we're alone, we're alone.
Why, it's a pleasure to be alone
in the world that we call our own.
Shall we do it again?
Well, you tell me when.
On our Saturday date?
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Because we're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
Back in the days, you know, way back in the dear dead days when I was head busboy at the Coconut Grove, a young guitar player from Indianapolis with a mellifluous voice and a toothy grin started to catch on real big. Fellow really went places. He's a solid click now as a romantic, rough-and-ready movie detective. You've seen him in such thrillers as Murder, My Sweet, Cornered, and To the Ends of the Earth. Folks, here's Dick Powell.
Howdy, Bing.
Well, Dick, it's nice to have you down.
What do you mean, down? I'm doing all right.
I mean, down here on the program, Dick. Gee, don't be so touchy.
I just thought you were going to start something.
What's come over this boy?
Now, Big, I'm so used to dealing with crooks and thugs, I'm all the defensive all the time.
You're a bundle.
Bundle of what?
Bundle of nerves, naturally. Now, steady. Take it easy.
All right. But I am a little jittery, Pappy.
Those dangerous parts you've been playing, they've got you upset, Rich.
You said it, Pappy.
Now, wait a minute. What's all this Pappy stuff?
Well, no offense. All of us detectives call people by some slang name, like chum, sweetheart, pappy.
Well, call me Sonny Boy. That's slangy enough. And, Dick, I got a little tip for you. Now, don't you take this movie work too seriously. First thing you know, you'll be thinking you're a real detective.
Well, I am a real detective.
All right, let's see you detect something.
Well, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell just by looking at you that you had an argument with Dixie this morning and you made up before you left home.
That's amazing. We did have a word or two, and we did make up, but how can you tell just by looking at me?
That lump on your head has lipstick on it. Here, let me wipe it off.
Thanks.
Oh, you poor fellow, you.
Mm-hmm.
Any woman who would hit a crooner.
Crooner? Get a load of this lad. Here's a guy that's knocking it that tried it. You even liked it.
Well, I was young. I didn't know what I was doing.
Say, by the way, Dick, what made you give up singing?
Well, I just figured that I was getting to a certain age, and I didn't feel that my voice was there anymore. You know how it is.
What do you mean? What do you mean, I know how it is?
Besides, I figured there wasn't any money in singing.
I can't believe that. Look at what I've made.
That's what I mean. There wasn't any left.
Whole heresy is getting around, isn't it?
Yes,
malarkey, Fred. I ain't got change of a match.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Besides, how long can a fella go on singing?
Well, look at Al Jolson.
Yeah, but look at the comeback Jolson had to make. Do you think you'd ever be able to make a comeback like that?
No, I don't.
That's very modest of you to admit it.
Who's modest? I just figure I ain't ever going to stop.
You know, I still think you should get an angle like me, become a private detective.
Me? A plain clothes man? Dick. Out of your mind. But, Dick, with those great parts you get in pictures, I'll bet you're glad you don't have to sing anymore, huh?
No, Bing, you never get over it. A singer's just like an actor with grease paint in his blood.
Singer's as bad as actors, huh?
Worse. Why, to this day, every time I hear a bell note, my mouth flies open.
No fooling. Well, I'll be there. He does, too. He was ready. Oh, he was ready.
And you know another thing?
Huh?
I find myself walking into drugstores just to browse among the Zymol trochies.
Dick, do you still have a yearning for gargles and throat sprays?
Oh, my, yes, yes. When I pass that counter, tears come to my eyes.
I understand.
But you know, I don't even drink my orange juice at breakfast. I spray it down my throat. With my old atomizer.
Gosh, what a sentimental guy.
And Bing?
Hmm?
I still squeeze the bulb of the old atomizer with my left hand.
Oh, that's right. You were the only southpaw singer in the business, weren't you?
You remembered.
Certainly. Everybody in the trade knows that.
Oh, I thought they'd forgotten.
No.
You know, I have a lot more to confess, too. Every week when you're on the air, I sit at home all alone and listen to you sing. And you know what I do?
What?
I join in.
You don't?
Yeah.
Well, how do we sound together?
Great, great. And Bing, you think you're casual down here in the studio in an old pair of slacks and a sports shirt. If you think you're relaxed, you ought to get a load of me.
Why, what do you wear?
Shorts.
Just shorts?
On cool evenings, longs.
I'm with you there. But tell me, Dick, am I the only singer you join in with on the radio?
Well, no, not exactly. Sometimes I join Jack Smith.
I like Jack Smith myself.
Oh, he's good. He's good. Say, I wonder how he gets that smile in his voice.
I don't know for sure, but I hear his tonsils have dimples. Oh. Sitting home and joining in with all the singers, it must be exciting pastime, aren't
it? Oh, yes, it is, it is. You know what happened last week when Vaughn Monroe was on?
What?
I beat him to the moon by 8 lengths.
That was your moment, boy.
You know, lots of times I sing with Peggy Lee, too.
In just your shorts?
Oh, no. No, when I join Peggy, I put on a tie.
A gentleman to the end.
Well, Dick,
as long as you have this yen to sing, why don't you do a number right now?
Oh, but I couldn't sing. I was in such a hurry to get on here today, I forgot to put on my shorts.
Sing with your clothes on.
Oh, no.
Come on. No. You've done some great tunes, Dick. Remember this one?
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from...
Hugh Casey with a guitar.
And I only have eyes for you.
That worked out all right, Dick.
Yeah, this is fun. How about this tune, Bing?
Oh, baby, what I couldn't do.
Remember it well.
With
yes.
Plenty of money and you. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life could be sunny with plenty of money and you.
Another one, Dick. You know, you must remember this when you were the dream boy over there with Warner Brothers and all those old musicals. You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child.
Naturally.
When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little girls wild. Boom, boom. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judges' eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow.
Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now.
Sing.
You got time for another tune?
Time. We're loaded with time. Sing all you want, Rich.
I wonder if Buddy Cole would give me a little Jeepers Creepers, huh?
Buddy?
Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get so lit up? Gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get that size? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me, I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
Hey, Bing, how about Shuffle Off to Buffalo? That was a great boy-girl tune.
Well, who's going to be who?
You be the girl. I got a cold.
Stuck again.
I'll go home and get my clothes. You go get your these and those. And away we'll go. Ooh, ooh. Shuffle off to Buffalo. To Niagara in a sleeper, there's no honeymoon that's cheaper, and the train goes slow.
Oh, train effect.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Offered on the shuffle, shuffle off to Buffalo.
Oh, Rich, that was great, and thanks a million.
Thanks a million. There's
yes.
a tune.
Oh, buddy, don't jump the gun, old man.
Are you anxious, old boy?
We've made him stand out all night, and it's gone to his head.
Yeah.
Thanks a million, Dick. That was great.
Thank women. Thanks a million. Now there's a tune.
See, just like we planned it. You...
Thanks a million. A million thanks to you. Everything that love could bring, you brought me.
You made a million dreams come true, and so I'm saying thanks a million to you.
Well, that was okay, Ricardo. If you ever get tired of being a detective, you've always got something to fall back on.
Thanks, Bing. But it's not nearly as soft as what you've got to fall back on.
Oh, you're wrong, Dick. That's not all me. I'm just smuggling home a couple of boxes of Kleenex. Well, Dick, I don't mean to be rude, but I have to blend into a number from The Road to Rio.
Good.
Right about here.
But love to hear it. Love to hear it.
You see, Mr. Hope and I have a vital interest in this picture. Mr. Hope's a keen student of the dollar, so he asked me to keep plugging his car. Burke and Van Heusen came up with a beautiful ballad, so I feel we should have another go at it. John, are you ready?
Love is funny, or it's sad, or it's quiet, or it's mad. It's a good thing or it's bad, but beautiful. Beautiful to take a chance, and if you fall, you fall. And I'm thinking I wouldn't mind at all. Love is tearful, or it's gay. It's a problem,
or its play. It's a heartache either way, but beautiful. And I'm thinking, if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be but beautiful.
Sunny Italy is the story of Sorrento. We use the rhythm airs in this, and also in the solo passages, Miss Lulu Jean Norman. She stands out, really.
In the story of Sorrento, do they mention us at all? Do they tell about the evening that I wish fully recall? In the story of Sorrento, do they say that I was there, that I've never known the magic of a sweeter love affair? With your arms around me, your eager lips like wine, you said that I was yours and you were mine. They overlooked a thrilling moment, just as people often do. In the story of Sorrento, they forgot, and so did you. People often do. In the story of Sorrento, they forgot. And so did you.
That's about it for now. I would like to remind our friends and my relatives up in Tacoma, Washington, loaded with relatives up there, that the Freedom Train will be in Tacoma April 8th. You folks will have an opportunity to grab yourself a real thrill and view some mighty important reminders of our American heritage. Say, Dick Powell's still here?
Right here, Bing. I'd like to tell you that I really enjoyed the visit here tonight.
Well, we enjoyed having you, Dick, and please come again.
Thank you. Here's my card in case you want any detective work done.
I may need that. I'm trying to locate a guy named Rudolf Schmohapa.
Well, anytime you want him, I'll nail him for you. Who's with you next week, Bing?
Next week, Dick, Fred Astaire and Peggy Lee are paying us a call.
Oh, should be jolly. So long, Bing.
So long, Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday, April 6th is Army Day. And we pause at this time to pay our respects to that undermanned khaki line which stands today, as it has for 173 years, protecting in guaranteeing for us the bounty of the United States. But let us remember that on Army Day, a strong America is a peaceful America.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Bert Overkent. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guests, Fred Astaire and Peggy Manana Lee. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the newest thing in radio from Philco, the leader.
It is time for Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Now, this was a detective series created by Blake Edwards, you know, from the Pink Panther movies. He also directed Breakfast at Tiffany's. Did you know that, Lisa?
I did.
Came to radio in 1949. It starred actor-crooner Dick Powell. And he had just recently played Philip Marlowe in Murder, My Sweet, the RKO film. And, you know, radio producers are like, hey, Dick Powell, let's cast him as a radio detective. And so they did. They cast him as Richard Diamond, Private Detective, a New York-based cop who loved ribbing the cops and singing a song at the end of the show to his millionaire's girlfriend, Helen Asher. She was a millionaire. He was dating her, and then he was still a private eye.
Is that your dream in life?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind that. And you know what? Dick Powell used to whistle the theme song, Leave It to Love, at the beginning of the episodes. And here's another thing. We talked about this in the fun fact on the Facebook page. Powell's production company, Four Star Television, actually produced a TV version of this series. He did not star in it, though. David Janssen starred in it, and then, of course, David Janssen went on to star in The Fugitive. So we have a great radio episode of the Richard Diamond Private Detective series from February 2nd, 1951. This is called The Caspary Case. It stars Dick Powell. Part one now of Richard Diamond Private Detective.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond Private Detective. Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Back here behind the socks. Careful the clothesline.
I thought you were a detective.
Oh, it's been a rumor for some time.
Do you always do laundry in the office?
Only on Fridays, honey. Have a seat, Miss...
Caspary.
I'll be right with you, Miss Caspary, as soon as I ring out these... as soon as I ring them out.
Go right ahead.
There. Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Caspary, what can I do for you?
It's Mrs.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what's it all about?
My husband's going to kill me.
Just frisky, or has he got a reason?
I found out he's been stealing from his partner, and when I faced him with it, he threatened me.
Has he done anything more than threaten?
Last night he went out and said he'd be gone for most of the evening. I went to bed, and about an hour later, I thought I heard somebody start upstairs. I got frightened and put pillows in my bed to make it look like I was sleeping.
Was it your husband?
I hid in my dressing room and watched. Then the door opened. It's too dark to tell, but I'm sure it was Phil. He came in and had a knife, and he jabbed the pillow several times before he realized it wasn't a real body.
Couldn't he see?
What do you mean?
Well, there's some things a guy remembers. Even if you slept in a diving suit, you'd have a hard time hiding them.
I like lots of covers.
Yeah. Now, you said Phil. Is your husband Phil Caspary, the gambler?
Yes, he and Max Bruno are in business together.
Yeah, I know. The Rooftop Club. An iron claw with a cover charge.
This morning, Phil said he was going away on a business trip, but I don't believe him. I'm afraid he's going to try killing me again. I want you to come around about 8 and protect me. Here's $100. That should cover it.
Well, thanks. We might be up late. Maybe I should bring a good book.
Oh, you'll strain your eyes. I like dark rooms.
She got up then and walked slowly across the room like a big cat that had just finished eating its keeper. She stopped at the door and smiled a promise. I thought how Samson must have looked with a crew cut. Around one, I stopped in at the corner of 51st and Broadway for a bite of lunch. I killed part of the afternoon at the newspaper morgue, looking up the past files of one Phil Caspary. No convictions, but a bundle of arrests. The partnership with Max Bruno had earned some big type from time to time, and it seemed that Mr. Caspary's partner, Max, was quite a favorite with the local authorities. They'd nailed him twice. The first time, Uncle Sam sent him away for missing too many March 15ths. The second was when I remembered. A rookie cop caught him with a gun. The parole board said shame and sent him up for the rest of the stretch. I went back to the apartment, dressed, and by 8 o'clock, I was ringing Mrs. Caspary's doorbell. The skin of my back crawled up and sat on my head. Whoever was dying was doing it the hard way. The door was locked, so I gave it the benefit of one of my shoulders. It was one of those heavy panel jobs. I stumbled into the living room and came up with my .38. The screams had stopped, and I knew the only reason she had given up yelling was because she'd given up living. She was sprawled on the bed, but she didn't look anything like she had that afternoon. He'd used a knife. No, she just didn't look like anything. I took a quick look around, found no one, so headed for the phone on the nightstand to call homicide. He must have been standing behind the door. When I turned, he gave it to me.
Oh!
He used something heavy enough to split a block of cement. It caught me across the nose, and I went down like an express elevator. While I was thinking the floor looked silly trying to be a funnel, he nailed me again. Oh, and this time he pushed back the ceiling and let the night in. It's easy to relax after a good beating. You just bleed a little and grow weak. When someone tries to shake you out of it, it's like trying to sober a drunk that got mulled on cleaning fluid.
Come on, Rick. Let's go. Snap out of it.
Oh.
Come on, kid. You're a mess.
Oh, I'm stuck in the confetti. Oh, yeah. We have a party or something?
Yeah, it looks that way. Wake up, you're still running around with the squirrels.
Oh, my. Take a look at that bed, Walt. If I appear untidy, it makes up for things.
We cleaned it off. Try and sit up. The ambulance will be here in a minute.
Oh, get me a bat, will you? If I can find the guy who crowned me, I'll give you another customer.
We got him outside, but I can't say I blame him.
And who you got?
Caspary. He says you knocked off his wife.
What?
He called us. Said he came home, found the body, and found you tiptoeing through the corpses.
Yeah. Well, maybe he told you his wife came to see me today and gave out with $100 to protect her from him.
No, as a matter of fact, he didn't.
Well, then don't stand there on your swollen bunion, Walt. He's got me in line for a murder rap, and I don't like it.
Don't blame you. Otis, bring in Mr. Caspary.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Get in there, Caspary.
Okay, Sergeant. Okay, take it easy.
Here he is, Lieutenant.
Caspary, Diamond here says he'll trade you a seat in the electric chair for his pushed-in face.
I don't get it.
Well, stick around, Phil. It'll catch up with you.
Hold it a minute, Rick.
I've had my face turned into an ad for taffy machines. I've got a right to gloat.
Look, why the chit-chat, Lieutenant? You got your killer.
That's what Diamond thinks. He says you fit the job.
He's a dirty liar.
Says your wife retained him to protect her from you.
For why?
She found out you were robbing your partner. You made one try for her, but you missed.
You graduated, Diamond. Now you're a filthy liar.
All right, Rick, lay off.
Okay, but I'd like to play some more.
I want some answers.
Then why don't you ask his partner? You know him, Max Bruno.
All right. Let's all go see Max Bruno.
A prowl car on Park Avenue is as conspicuous as an outside shower at a girls' camp. A crowd of people watch Sergeant Otis herd us into the back seat, Even if you aren't guilty, you feel like you've got the Chrysler Building tucked away under your coat. I waved goodbye to a good-looking blonde with a poodle, and we took off for Bruno's office. It was an old building on 6th Avenue, and a gonath named Tony Garcia with a big bulge under his arm met us at the door.
What is this, a convention?
Hello, Tony. Tell Bruno I want to see him.
The old party or just you, Lieutenant?
I'm enough.
Sure. What's the matter, Casper? You look sick. You get tagged for speeding?
You can tell, Max, it looks like he built the frame just the right size.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Oh, stop playing Alice in Wonderland. We want to see Bruno.
I'll find out if he's in.
We know how to turn a doorknob. Look out.
Okay.
Well, what is this?
They wouldn't wait for an introduction.
Hello, Max.
What do you want, Levinson?
Couple of questions.
You in some kind of trouble, Casper?
What do you think?
What are you getting rough with me for?
Oh, are you dirty double
cross? Shut up! Well, what's eating you, Diamond?
Well, that's a good one.
Now, look.
You look, Max. You keep your mouth shut, Casper.
Not when I'm being framed. I'm going to yell my head off.
Framed?
Don't know nothing about it, huh, Max?
I don't know what you're talking about. What is this?
You framed me without killing.
Killing?
Don't come on with that bit. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, Casper, in the hall, Otis.
Yes, sir. Come on, Casper.
I'll get you for this, Max. So help me.
Come on, you.
Will somebody tell me what's going on here?
Liar, I swear to you, if it's the last thing I do, I'll get...
What's happened to him?
Max, you don't know?
How am I supposed to know? Yes?
Somebody just killed his wife.
Tony.
Yeah, boss?
Wait in the hall.
Yeah, boss.
Casper knocked off his wife, huh?
Well, he didn't say it was Casper.
Look, Casper is my partner. At least he was.
You split?
Yeah, a couple of days ago.
Why?
I've been checking for a couple of weeks. Casper's been holding out on the take.
How'd you find out?
His wife called me and told me.
Oh, really? Wonder why a wife would incriminate her husband like that.
Yeah, she was scared, scared stiff. She found out what he was doing, and he told her he'd kill her. So she didn't know what to do. She called me.
You knew her pretty well, huh?
Not too well. She figured I could give her protection. I told her to see you, Diamond.
Well, now, that was very nice of you, but... What did you do about Casper when you found out he was robbing you?
Told him to get out, have the money back by tomorrow morning.
You tell him his wife tipped you about him?
Are you crazy? Of course not. Said I've been checking on him for a long time, that the books didn't tally.
And what did he say?
He said he didn't do it. What'd you expect him to say?
Well, are your books short?
$200,000 worth.
Okay, Max, we'll be talking to you.
Wife's dead, huh?
About as dead as she can get.
See you around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he told you how I've been robbing the till.
Yeah, he did.
Let's go.
What's the matter, Casper? You give it up?
I'm framed. That's it. Let's go.
Oh, by the way, what did you do with the murder weapon?
Don't be surprised if you wake up some morning and find it sticking in your back.
Get him out of here, Otis.
Come on, you. Come on.
Well, Levinson did it again. Suspect in custody. What do you do for an encore?
Sleep. You want me to drop you off in emergency? You could use a new face.
No, I'll grab a cab and go to the apartment cleanup. Got to see Helen later.
Okay, but stay off the streets. Somebody's liable to think you're dead and bury you.
Oh, that's a good one.
Night.
Good night. Hey, cabbie.
Yeah? Where to, Mac? Holy yike.
What's the matter?
Don't scare me like that. I got a nervous stomach. Boy, they could sell your face for 60 cents a pound.
Okay, so good housekeeping shuns me. 553 East 51st and step on it. What are you rolling the window down for?
I want to see if it's still bleeding up. $0.35.
There you are.
Thanks.
Let's take a ride instead.
Huh?
Don't move.
Hey, what's going on?
I told you we're going to take a ride.
The gun in my back I don't recognize, but you should have worn your other head, Tony.
Move.
Okay. What's the matter? Doesn't Max give you enough to eat?
That's because I don't think you're funny.
All right. You're Tony Garcia and you make people bleed.
Right, boy. Hold it. Now get in the car.
You're bending the suit.
Get in. drive.
Okay, but I'm a better pedestrian. Where to?
Washington Bridge.
I don't swim any better than I drive.
You won't have to. You're out for high diving. Get going. Come on, hurry it up.
I thought we were going to a funeral.
That's a good one.
What's it all about, Tony?
Don't get nosy. Enjoy the ride. It's a new car.
We rode like that. Tony sitting half-turned with a big .45 in his fist, pointing right at my stomach. I drove south across town, trying to figure it out. Max Bruno's killer getting ready for a job. Why? Why me? What did I know that could get Max Bruno in trouble?
Turn here.
I turned, and the Washington Bridge wasn't far away. I could see it, stretched out across the river like a long coffin lined with bright candles. I eased down on the accelerator, and by the time we reached the bridge, I was doing a good 60.
Slow down!
We were near the toll gate. I took my foot off the accelerator and then jammed down on the brakes as hard as I could. We had hit the bridge railing and stopped cold. The steering wheel had caught me in the stomach. I opened my mouth to make my lungs work. It was like sucking air through a bent straw. I didn't know how long I sat there before I finally made it, but a slow, dripping sound made me remember Tony and look over. He was halfway through the windshield, and the dripping wasn't a broken radiator. His life was running out all over the hood. I got out of the car before the guards got to it. I had to have time to figure the whole thing out, and I didn't want to hang around for a lot of long explanations. I walked until I lost the crowd that was collecting. I took in long breaths of fresh air until my head cleared, then spotted an empty cab heading back to town, flagged it, gave the cabbie the address of the rooftop club. I needed answers, and the best person to give them to me was Max Bruno.
Read all about the Caspery murder. Woman found dead in her apartment. Husband held for murder.
Hey, boy, paper.
Yes, sir. Gee, what happened to your face?
I shaved with a rake.
Yeah? Gee, that's pretty funny.
Holy.
What's the matter?
This picture.
That's the dame was knocked off tonight. Caspery dame.
Oh, so that's it.
Huh?
Here's a buck, thanks.
Wow. Take my advice, mister. See your analyst. You'll get rid of them bells.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
Walt, did you get to 415 at the George Washington Bridge?
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago. Tony Garcia ran into the bridge railing. Some other guy with him. How'd you hear about it, Rick?
Well, I was the other guy.
What?
Yeah, Tony was going to show me the bottom of the river.
Are you nuts?
Not at all, no. And have you seen the evening papers?
No.
Well, there's a picture of Mrs. Caspery on the front page.
So what?
Well, so this. The girl in the picture isn't the same girl who came into my office this afternoon. Well,
who was she?
I don't know.
Now, wait a minute,
Walt,
Rick.
Don't you get it? That's why Tony was supposed to gun me tonight.
No, I don't get it.
Oh, Walt, somebody wanted to frame Phil Caspery. They sent a girl to my office posing as Mrs. Caspery, so I'd swear she suspected that Phil was going to kill her. When I found the wife dead, she was cut up so bad I couldn't tell the difference.
Well, then why kill you?
To prevent what's just happened. Get me out of the way before I saw the evening papers.
Then Max Bruno was lying about Caspery taking the money.
Sure. There had to be a motive, so he cooked up the story about Mrs. Caspery calling him and telling him about Phil and the money.
Then Bruno's our man.
Oh, Walt, you're such a good boy. I knew you'd get it.
Check your hat, sir.
Maybe I'd better throw it in the door first. Give me a pack of Camels.
Yes, sir.
Who's running the place for Mr. Bruno?
Mr. Caspary, but he isn't in yet.
Depends on what you're talking about. How's the floor show?
It's all right if you got an imagination.
You know, you better keep moving. You'll catch cold in that getup.
Oh, well, don't let it fool you. The bus will rail your hot water bottle.
I went in and sat at the bar. The dance floor was in the other room, but you could see it through the long glass windows. I was sitting there trying to figure my next move when the floor show started. The usual line of cuties came out. The hat check girl was wrong. You didn't need an imagination. They were wearing just enough to make a bathing suit look like a sleeping bag. They tripped over each other getting off, and the lights went dim, and a white spot circled the piano. She came out in a green satin evening gown. I've seen grapes with looser skins.
I didn't know what time it was.
She knew what time it was. She was pretty good, too. But she was better this afternoon in my office when she told me she was Mrs. Caspary. I got up and went back to the hat check girl with a warm bustle.
Maybe you need a shot. Even the old ones stick around for the last show.
Honey, where can I find that singer's dressing room?
I thought you looked healthy. Mr. Bruno wouldn't like it.
Well, maybe we don't let Mr. Bruno in on it.
Oh, $10. You'll have to shove bamboo under my nails before I talk.
She told me how to find the singer's dressing room. I thanked her and gave her a pat on the... You know, it was a hot water bottle. I walked by the bar again and listened while she poured it on. I've heard singers with better voices, but this one had the difference. She went into the last few bars, and I headed for her dressing room. I wanted to get there before she did. And unless that green satin gown was a breakaway, she didn't figure for an encore. I got in and sat down to wait. It was a quick minute before she showed up. Oh, shut up, you're flat.
Oh, you get out of here. Go on, get out.
Now relax, baby. I got something to say. You want to listen or do you want to get shoved around?
You just try it. I'll get some of Max's boys to let the air out of your muscles.
Open your mouth and you'll be tripping on your teeth.
I...
Get away from that door and sit down.
Not until you get your eyes full of fingernails.
You little... Now get this. I don't like marking up dames' complexions, but you're making it easy. Who sent you up to my office? Was it Max?
Why don't you ask him? He's good at answers.
Well, so was his boy, Tony. He got dead trying to figure it out. Maybe you'd like to guess.
Wait a minute, Diamond. One scream from me and everybody in the joint will be in here on your back.
Honey, if you open your mouth, I'll shove your foot in it.
If I tell you... Do I get squared with the law?
You're an accessory before the fact. I can only give you a head start.
Just give me long enough to find a healthy climate.
Now, you're killing time. Come on. I want to know who built you up to fit Mrs. Caspary. Was it Max Bruno?
All right. It was Max. Phil found out he was holding out in the gambling take.
So he dissolves the partnership by killing Mrs. Caspary, making Phil a patsy.
Neat, huh?
Yeah. Like a sack full of brains. Go on. Answer it.
Who is it?
Open up, baby. It's me.
Max, look out. Diamond's in here.
Sorry, baby, but twice makes you a punching bag. I didn't want to hit her, but it was the only way to keep her tongue in. She dropped like a wet wash in an earthquake, and I jumped for the door. Max was halfway down the hall. He had a gun in his hand, and he used it. The slug tore up the wall by my ear, and before I could try my luck, he was around the corner. I thought about the hole his Luger had made, and I wondered why I was still chasing him. I turned the corner and found myself in the bandstand. Max turned fast and tried again. I was across the crowded dance floor when the panic busted loose.
What's going on here?
I shoved aside a drunk who thought it was the 4th of July and went to the bar like I needed the exercise.
That man's got a gun!
Follow your own paper, lady.
Max was nearly to the front door when he turned around for another shot at me. He didn't see the little hat check girl standing behind him with her arms full of coats. He backed right into her, and they both went down together. Max stumbled up, tangled, and on an assorted wardrobe. He squeezed first, but he was wearing too many coats. Then he missed again. I didn't miss. Max doubled up like a tired ice bag and got himself a face full of carpet. He was pretty dead. The hat-check girl looked at me for a minute, then leaned over to Max. She said something that endeared her to me forever.
Check your gun, Mr. Bruno.
Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell, was written by Blake Edwards with music by Frank Worth. Our director is Helen Mack. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Arthur Q. Bryan, and Wilms Herbert. Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond. Starring Dick Powell.
It's time for Gunsmoke. This is a broadcast from April 4th. Man, I'm pushy, aren't I?
You
was
are.
Was I kind of pushy?
Yeah. Well, what about everybody. Yelling at people?
Gosh.
You just yelled at us.
I just realized that. I was kind of being pushy there. April 4th, 1953. This is called the Jayhawkers. Here's part one of Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mind if I sit here and watch the plaza with you, Mr. Dillon?
Hmm? Oh, sure, sure. Sit down, Chester. Sit down.
I got spring fever, I guess.
I guess everybody has.
That'll change soon enough.
It will?
Sure. As soon as the first trail herd hits Dodge.
Yeah, I suppose.
Them Texas cowboys. Mr. Dillon... They all ought to be hobbled and have one arm tied behind their back all the time they're here.
No, I don't know, Chester.
They're just troublemakers, sir. They're bad enough at home, but they're worse away from it.
Well, there are plenty of bad men who never saw Texas.
Yes, and there are darn few Texans who ain't bad.
Where'd you say you're from, Chester?
Well, Waco... But that don't change my opinion one bit, Mr. Dillon. In fact, it just proves I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, here comes a Texan now, Chester. Look at his rig.
Yes, sir, it sure is. Now, what's he doing here?
Looking for somebody to shoot, according to you. You know him?
No, sir, I don't. But then most everybody I knew in Texas has been hung by now.
I'm looking for the U.S. Marshal. You're wearing the stars, so maybe you're him.
Sit down, stranger.
You Matt Dillon?
That's my name.
All right. I'm Phil Jacks. I'm with a herd of 3,000 San Saba cattle about 5 days' drive from here. Name of the trail boss is Dolph Quince.
Dolph Quince? He was up here last year. Give him my regards, will you?
You give them to him, Marshal.
Well, I'll be glad to. You'll be here in about 5 days, you say?
He will if we don't run into any more trouble. Said for you to ride back with me, Marshal.
No? But did he say why?
No. Didn't say nothing except for me to ride into Dodge and find you.
Well, can you tell me what this is all about?
It's about Kansas, Marshal.
Kansas?
We don't like it.
Well, for heaven's sake, if you don't like it, why don't you stay in Texas? Instead of coming up here, raising all kinds of trouble, getting people's backs up, drinking, shooting, carrying on.
I haven't even said hello to you, mister.
Oh, I know it, and let's leave it that way.
Chester, what's got into you, anyway?
It's been mighty peaceful around here lately, sir. Now the first Texas herd ain't even over the horizon, and already there's trouble. Why don't you people drive your old mossy horned steers to California, anyway?
Why'd you leave Texas, mister?
What?
I know a Texan when I see one. You all riled up because you don't like Kansas anybody else does.
Yes, and I don't like Texas, neither.
Texas is sure rough on women and dogs, ain't it?
My gracious, I ain't heard that since I was a boy. All right, you got me pegged. I'll shut up.
Oh, now we're getting someplace.
You ready to go, Marshal?
Well, Dolph Quince is a good man. He wouldn't have sent you here without a reason.
Yeah, but Mr. Dillon, you
Chester,
can't go
Chester, suppose you take Jax over to the Dodge House for a good feed, huh? Looks like he could use it. I'll get ready and I'll meet you there in about an hour, huh?
Yes, sir, but what about me?
Well, like you say, there won't be any trouble till the Texans arrive. I'd like for you to stay here anyway.
Yes, Mr. Dillon. Come on, Jax. It's just down the street.
Oh, don't shoot him, Chester. I'll never find that herd alone.
I ain't to buy him a drink first, Marshal, and just temper him down a little.
Now, say, that's not a bad idea at all. Take your pick, Mr. Jax. We have a goodly number of very choice saloons here.
I hadn't been out on the prairie for some weeks, and I found its usual monotony broken a little by the freshness of spring, with great patches of green standing out against the natural sunburnt color of last year's grass. We rode over about 30 miles of it before dark, and Jax figured we'd find the San Saba herd by evening the next day. And sure enough, an hour or two after we'd crossed the Cimarron next afternoon, we spotted the herd's dust ahead of us. We rode up to the chuck wagon just as the cook was hollering for the men to come and get it.
Just drop your saddle anyways, Marshal. I'll turn your horse in with a remuda.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Jack.
Now, Quince will be over there by the fire, Summers.
Yeah, I'll find him.
All right, come on. Come on. Come on.
Boss, what's he doing? I don't know. I can't understand it. Who is it?
Hello, Dolph.
How are you, Marshal? There's fresh meat in camp. Ask the cook for a plate.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I need some more coffee. You like Buffalo Veal? One of the boys roped and shot a calf this morning.
Sure, I like it fine.
Guess it was Buffalo that scared our horses last night. The old remuda broke loose. Hey, cook, give this man a plate of meat.
Sure thing, Doc.
Yeah, it looks mighty good. You know, Jackson and I haven't eaten since morning.
Give me some coffee, will you?
Yep.
Thanks, cook. Nesta woman came to the bed ground before daylight this morning.
Huh?
Yeah, I had a boy with her driving a wagon. Asked if we had any little calves that had been dropped during the night.
Well, she probably picks up calves from all the herds that pass this way, huh?
Yeah, we'd have to get rid of them anyway. So I let her have them. Even if she was a Kansan.
Oh? Where was her husband?
Dead, according to the boy.
I see.
You know, if it had been a Kansas man asked for calves, I don't think I could have talked these boys into allowing it.
Oh, is that so?
It sure is, Marshal. Say, you got any tobacco? Mine's a mite dry.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you are. Here. Fix yourself a smoke.
Thanks, Marshal.
Tell me, Joff, have you seen any Kansas Jayhawkers on the way up?
How do you know, Marshal?
Well, just a guess.
Two nights ago, some of them Jayhawkers managed to sneak up on Snyder over there when he was out on guard. They stripped him and flogged him and then stampeded the cattle. We had our hands full for the next few hours, or we might have caught up with them.
I see. Any trouble since?
Not yet.
Doff, the ordinary Kansan hates Jayhawkers as much as you do. They're nothing but shifty, murderous criminals. They got started on the Missouri border during the war, and they got the taste of blood in their mouths, and, well, now it's like they got no place to go.
We can show them a place.
They're bandits, that's all. You got bandits in Texas. That doesn't make every Texan one, does it?
It's kind of hard to make the men see that, Marshal.
Yeah, I know.
I'll join you, if you don't mind.
Sit down, Jack.
Yeah.
I've been complaining to Marshal about our welcome here.
I hear the trail driver's buying off Jayhawkers, $2 or $3 a head. You see, 3,000 head, that cost us...
I ain't paying nobody nothing.
Well, they ain't asked us yet, but I'll kill the first one I see anyway.
Maybe they won't bother you again, huh?
Marshal, every dollar I got's in these cattle and all the money my relatives and friends could raise, too. We've come a long way from San Saba, and we're almost to Dodge. I'd hate to lose now.
Well, Doff, I don't know quite what I can do.
Raise a posse?
Well, not for this sort of work. There'll be herds coming up from now into September.
What about the army?
They're out chasing Indians, as usual.
Well, figured that had to ask anyways.
One reason I wanted you to come down here was to ride with us a few days, get to know the boys a little. They're in a bad temper, and when they hit Dodge, they're going to be looking for Kansas scalps.
I'll ride with you.
I figured you would. You see, Marshal, the way we look at it, the good citizens of Dodge are out to fleece us anyway, and on top of that, they hire gunfighters to shoot us as soon as we kick up our heels a little. All in all, it makes for bad feeling.
Well, there's some misunderstanding on both sides, I guess.
Yeah, you and I know that. But they don't.
Oh, say, Dolph. I nearly forgot.
What?
Stranger rode up the remute over there and asked for a job. I told him to eat first.
Must be crazy. Where is he?
I'll go get him.
Dolph, I'd like to stand guard tonight, huh?
No need for that.
Well, if I'm riding with you, I'll do my share of the work.
All right. You go out with the second watch. The Wrangler will give you a night horse.
Thanks.
Here he is, Dolph. This here's Dolph Quince, trail boss.
Mr. Quince.
Quince will do.
Well, my name's Studer, Carl Studer.
You lost?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, do you know we're only 4 days' drive out of Dodge?
I was wondering if you could use a hand.
For 4 days?
That'd help.
You must be awful hungry.
I thought maybe you'd be driving past Dodge.
Well, I'm not. We'll feed you from here to Dodge if you work. I won't pay you anything, though. I haven't got the money, and I don't need a hand anyway.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, where are you from?
Colorado.
And you ain't a Kansan?
No.
Good. Maybe the boys won't tear you apart. You'll be on the third watch tonight, Studer.
All right.
There's the sort of man spends his whole miserable life just looking for salt pork and sundown.
Yeah. If that's all he's looking for.
What do you mean?
Just an old habit of mine, Dolph. I wouldn't still be alive if I trusted everybody on first sight.
You don't trust this fella?
No, he's probably all right. Still, I'd keep him in camp, unless it's daylight.
How come?
I wouldn't put him on night guard, Dolph.
All right. Marshal, I always thought I led a hard life. Till now, I think you beat me.
Well, I got shot at more than you, that's all.
Maybe that's it. You better stretch out somewhere. You'll be out singing to those cow brutes in 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you later, Dolph.
Breakfast at 4. You'll find it don't take long to stay all night at this ranch.
Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
I didn't have much chance that night to get to know the boys. On guard, two of us rode around the herd in opposite directions, singing or humming a little to let the cattle know where we were. And after 2 hours, we were relieved by the third watch. But at breakfast the next morning, the men treated me a little less like a gunfighter hired to shoot them when they got to Dodge. After the cattle had grazed for a few miles and we got them on the trail, I started to forget I was a lawman myself. Jax and I were riding the swing of the herd when Dolph Quince loped up behind us.
Hey, how's it feel to be a trail hand, Marshal?
There's nothing to it. If I could sleep all winter like you do.
When would you spend your money?
I already offered to trade jobs with the Marshal. Dolph, you know where I found him in Dodge.
Hanging a horse thief, I hope.
Yeah, not likely. Sitting idle in a chair, taking in the sun like an old man.
Don't let it fool you, Jax. I've seen him move. Hey, you two crossed the Cimarron yesterday. What's it like?
Oh, the water's gone down. You won't have any trouble.
I was also thinking about the sand.
It was sound where we was, Dom.
Then we'll cross right there. You go up ahead and ride point, Jax. Lead us to it. Take that new fella Studer with you.
I don't need him.
I want him up front where I can see him.
Okay. Hit him off.
First crossing I tried last year had a quicksand bottom. It would bog a saddle blanket.
Huh? Did you lose many cattle?
30 head. Couldn't even dig your tails out.
Yeah. You know, Dolph, I sometimes wonder if it's worth it to you, driving cattle up here.
Texas is bankrupt, Marshal. The war broke us. All we got is these wild, long-horn cattle.
Yeah, I know. But maybe there'll be an easier way someday.
We'd starve waiting for the railroad.
I suppose so. Anyway, this San Saba herd of yours is the first to reach Dodge this year. The prices are high. You ought to profit $20 a head.
I hope so. What's Dodge like now? Been a year since I was there.
Well, it's double its size. They got a new restaurant, a place called Delmonico's. Got about 5 new saloons.
Well...
A new barber shop.
With money in your pocket, Dodge could offer high-class entertainment.
Almost anything you want.
The boys will be glad to know.
Hey, that's up ahead. Come on, hurry!
Look, we got a blanket. It's starting to stampede.
Yeah. Is that Jack's horse running loose?
Yeah. There's Jack's lying on the ground. They shot him, Marshal.
Yeah. The man with the blanket, that's Studer. I'm going after him, Dolph. You take care of Jax.
There go the cattle. Head off. Get him, Marshal. Get him alive.
I'll get him. As I followed Studer, a few shots whipped past my head, but they didn't come from him. They came from behind a small rise he was headed for. Whoever was shooting was still too far away from me to worry about. I wanted to take care of Studer first. Slowly the distance between us closed. I pulled my rifle out of the boot and I snapped one off at him. He threw up his hands and pitched forward out of the saddle. I glanced at him as I rode past and crossed him off as one jayhawker less. When I reached the rise, I jumped off my horse and ran up it on foot. Near the top, I got down and I crawled. When I poked my head over, there was only one man in sight. The other jayhawkers, if there'd been any, had disappeared. This one was afoot and he was running for his horse. I took my time and put a shot into the cantle of his saddle. And the horse bolted. The man dropped behind a rock and lay there. He was only half covered, so I stood up. And a step at a time started toward him down the hill.
That's far enough, mister! Go on back! You're in pistol range now! Stand right there, you!
All right, fella. Put down and come forward.
All I want's a horse, and I'll get out of here. We won't bother you no more.
You sure won't.
Just let me on a horse.
Now listen to me. I'm a United States Marshal. You give up, and I promise there'll be no lynching. You'll get a fair trial.
No!
If you don't give up, you're gonna die. Right where you are.
Let it go, I'm warning you.
I'm coming after you. You just had to try it, didn't you?
You leave a bloody trail, Marshal.
Yeah.
I brought Snyder with me. After the whipping they gave him the other night, I figured he deserved to be in on this.
Guess I'm too late. Looks like the Marshal's done taking care of everybody.
Be glad you don't have to kill a man, son.
I don't think I'd mind, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, Dolph, how's Jax?
Dead.
No.
Studer shot him in the back of the head.
He was a good man.
The boys have got the lead cattle turned. We'll let them mill around for an hour and then graze them out.
Good. I left my horse over the rise there, Snyder. Would you get him for me, please?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
Looks like you walked right down onto this man.
I tried to take him alive, like you asked.
Guess I just wanted to hang him myself. Anyway, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Marshal, we'll be burying Jax out here. I'm wondering if you might know how to do it. Maybe a prayer or something?
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I'll try, Dolph.
Let's get back in.
When we got back to where Jax had fallen, the cook had driven the chuck wagon up and was busy fixing coffee for the men, even though it was far from noon. The cattle were spread out and feeding now. And one by one, the men rode up, sober and quiet. There was just a glance at Jax where he lay covered by his saddle blanket. A grave was soon dug, and with the end gate of the chuck wagon for a headstone, Phil Jax was placed in the ground and covered with prairie earth. Their hats in their hands, the Texas men watched in silence.
If you will, Marshal, we're ready now.
Yeah. We brought nothing into this world. Neither may we carry anything out of this world. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Even as it pleaseth the Lord.
Even as it pleaseth the Lord, so cometh things to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
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 Snyder?
Yeah.
I want you to do something for me, if you will.
What?
Well, I smuggled a quart of wagon yard whiskey out of Dodge when I came down here. The cook's got it hid in the chuck wagon.
Well, now, Mark.
It's not much, but it'll cut the alkali in your drinking water. Why don't you get it and pass it out to the men, huh?
Mighty decent of you, Marshal. All us wants a drink of the Marshal's whiskey. Get on over to the chuck wagon.
There's times when a drink's good for a man's soul, Marshal. I guess this is one of them.
I think Jax would approve.
He sure would. By the way, Marshal, the boys all know how you handle them Jayhawkers.
No?
It ain't changed their mind about Kansans much, but maybe they think a little more highly of the law around here, of the kind of gunfighter hired by the law anyway.
That's good.
Of course, it don't mean they won't hoorah Dodge a little when we get there.
I expect that.
Sure. Come on. We got a drink coming out of that bottle, too.
Three days later, the San Saba herd reached Mulberry Creek, about 10 miles south of Dodge. Dolph Quince decided to hold it there until he got it sold. So I said goodbye to the men and rode on into Dodge ahead of them. We'd meet again. In the plaza, at the Texas Trail, at the Alafraganza. And I was sure of one thing. Short of gunplay, that particular bunch of Texas cowboys were going to be allowed to hoorah Dodge unmolested.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin and Harry Bartell, with Sam Edwards, Jack Crucian, and Jim Nusser. Parley Bear is Chester. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow evening, the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy presents a drama titled The Blue Egg of Happiness as its own comical Easter observance. Edgar's daughter, Candy Bergen, age 6, visits the show, and we'll also hear from Jack Kirkwood, who plays a bear, Arthur Q. Bryan, who plays the Easter Bunny, and bandleader Ray Noble, who plays a skunk. Remember, it's Bergen and McCarthy tomorrow night on most of these same stations, bringing you laughs along with Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, and the rest of your Sunday nighters on CBS Radio. George Walsh speaking. America's 45 million radio families listens most to the CBS Radio Network.